This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at southdakotachannel.org.
Senate Taxation Committee will come to order. I want to welcome everybody to this meeting, everybody in the room at the table, and everyone that's listening on the internet. I'd like to remind everybody to turn your devices volume on zero so that we can not be interrupted in the meeting. And the secretary will call the roll.
Senators Ewing?
Here.
Feagin?
Here.
Frerichs?
Here.
Hager?
Here.
Peterson?
Here.
Greenfield?
Here.
Monroe?
Here.
We have a quorum.
We have a quorum. Chair will entertain a motion to approve the minutes from the last meeting.
Second.
We have four moves and one second to approve the minutes from the last meeting. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay. Now aye. Nay. I'm sorry, it's Monday. I'd like to remind everyone who wishes to testify in the committee to please sign in. And if you are representing somebody, be sure to have your badge on front of your person. We have some very important people in the room today. One is signing in, apparently. Oh. We have our pages here, and without them, we'd really be in a big mess. So what I want you to do is go one at a time, come up to the microphone and introduce yourself, give us your name and where you're from, and a little bit about yourself.
My name is Cassidy Kitzmiller. I'm a senior at Sturgis Brown High School, and I want to be a veterinarian for whales.
Cool.
My name is Callie Carey. I'm from here on South Dakota, and I want to go to SDSU for ag business.
My name is Zach Renshaw. I'm a senior at O'Gorman High School in Sioux Falls, and I'm going to attend Doan College next year to play football.
Well, I'll tell you something about Zach, because this is so funny. Zach, who recruited you down at Doan?
It was Matt Franzen, but Fred Biley, too. He was there.
Who?
Fred Biley.
Fred Biley is still there?
Yes.
40 years ago, Fred Biley recruited me for running at Doan College. 40. I just want to embarrass Zach a little bit, but thanks a lot. Any other introductions we need or personal privileges? With that, we'll proceed with our first bill.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Frerichs.
Sorry, Mr. Chairman, I was not ready right away, but if I have personal privilege, please.
You betcha.
Thank you. I have a shadow today from the 4-H Youth Council, Matthew Sperry from Bath, South Dakota.
Well, I have a shadow too. That's Logan. Stand up. Are there any other shadows in here? Okay. Well, thank you. Thanks for being here. It's good to be interested in the process like this. House Bill 1051 to prohibit the use of certain automated sales suppression devices and to provide penalties for their use. Are there any proponents?
Good morning.
My name is Rachel Hearn. I'm Audit Director for the South Dakota Department of Revenue. And what you have in front of you is House Bill number 1051, which seeks to prohibit automated sales suppression devices. And what these devices are essentially computerized skimming that is often automatic on a system of a retailer. It can be found in convenience stores, grocery stores, but most often in the U.S. and Canada, it's been found in restaurants. So what happens is you may visit a restaurant, buy a steak, you get a receipt for that steak, but then later on the computer changes that steak to a hamburger, which is much cheaper and has less tax on it. So the retailer is collecting the tax, but instead of turning it into the state, they're using it to increase their margin. So we would like to establish a minimum penalty for this, which is in the Section 3 of the bill, and also make it a Class 5 felony to not only use the software, but to manufacture or sell the software. And if the department is to find this software, this bill would give them the option of seizing the computer if we needed to prove to a jury that this software is being used. Most recently, Washington was seen in the news. They passed legislation similar to this last year, and they found one single location restaurant that had skimmed $400,000 over a three-year period. More than 23 states have legislation like this. We've reviewed their legislation. We've also worked with local groups like the retailers and the chamber to find the best wording and the best bill that we feel is needed in South Dakota. And we ask that you please support House Bill 1051. Thank you.
Thank you, Rachel. Are there any other proponents of House Bill 1051? Are there any other proponents?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Michelle Brish, and I'm here representing the South Dakota Hotel and Lodging Association. And we'd like to thank the Department of Revenue for bringing the different groups together ahead of time and working this out. This is a good bill. We like that it goes against the people that would be selling this product to our retailers and restaurant owners and hotel people. And I think it's a good bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle. Are there any other proponents?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Jasper Deagle, and I am a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Chamber of Commerce and Industry. We also support this bill. We feel that as taxpayers, this money belongs to us, and we think the Department of Revenue did a great job in finding ways to be able to get the tax dollars back to all of us and also to prosecute both the seller of the software and also the recipients of the people using it. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other proponents of House Bill 1051? Hearing none, are there any questions of the proponents from the committee? Hearing none, are there any opponents to House Bill 1051? No questions then. No rebuttal, apparently. And so, are there any other general questions? If not, we'll close to a committee discussion and or action.
Chair.
Oh, wait. I did have a question. Sorry about that. Rachel? There. Are all the statutes applicable to obtaining of warrants, things like that, contained in the bill to your satisfaction?
Yes, to my satisfaction. What this is it gives us the ability to seize on the spot if we see this so that a taxpayer wouldn't be able to wipe the computer in the time it took us to get a warrant. But then there are statutes contained in Chapter 23A that provide for their return of their property. Those are also included in this bill.
Thank you. And we have a... We have a prison population cost estimate statement. Our LRC member, Claire, could you just briefly go over that and give us a brief synopsis of it so the committee will understand and the public?
You have to bear with me because I'm just reading it now for the first time. Said that the prison impact is likely to be minimal because there haven't been any reported use of the devices in the state as of yet. That's the gist of it.
Thank you. Are there any questions on the prison impact statement? I'll go back to where we were. Is there a discussion and or action? Senator Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move to pass on House Bill 1051.
Second.
It's been moved by Senator Greenfield, seconded by Senator Hager, to move House Bill 1051 to the floor, do pass. Is there any discussion on that motion?
Well, Mr. Chair, if I might, very briefly, as has been laid out by the proponents, this is a good bill, and anytime you have somebody from the private sector and industry saying that the Department of Revenue did a great job in bringing people to the table and crafting this, you know you're on the right track. So I would encourage your support. Thanks.
Any other discussion? Hearing none, it's been moved and seconded to move House Bill 1051 to the Senate floor. Do pass. The Secretary will call the roll. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay.
Senators Ewing?
Aye.
Feagin?
Aye.
Frerichs?
Aye.
Hager?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Greenfield?
Aye.
And Monroe?
Aye.
Seven yeas. No nays.
Senator Ewing?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move to place on the consent calendar.
It's been moved by Senator Ewing, seconded by Senator Feagin, to move House Bill 1051 to the floor on the consent calendar. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay.
Aye.
Aye.
Nay. Keep doing that. Okay. So House Bill 1051 will move to the Senate floor on the consent calendar. We now go to House Bill 1177 to revise certain provisions concerning tax incentive for certain energy facilities. Do we have proponents to House Bill 1177? Senator Holley.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. This will be a very short pitch before I pass it off to people who know much better about the subject matter and the history of this bill. But House Bill 1177 is a bill that would take large-scale solar facilities and bring them under a taxation model that we approved last year for similar wind facilities. It was a good bill last year with wind, and I don't see any reason why it wouldn't be a good bill this year with solar. So I would encourage your favorable consideration of 1177.
Are there any questions of Senator Holley? For the proponents of House Bill 1177, we have one.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Chairman Monroe and the committee members, my name's Julie Volk. I am Director of Regulatory and Legislative Affairs with NextEra Energy Resources. And today I'd like to speak in favor of House Bill 1177. I'd like to give you a little bit of information about my company and support for the proposed legislation. First, a little bit about NextEra Energy Resources. We're a combined electric utility and energy producer. We are headquartered in Florida. I actually work out of our Wisconsin office, and we have generation facilities on the energy business side of the company across the country. As a matter of fact, we have three wind facilities that we have already built in the state of South Dakota, and that totals 190 megawatts. Nationwide, we have over 20,000 megawatts. Our portfolio consists of nuclear, natural gas, wind, solar facilities. In South Dakota, the investment that we've made is $400 million in the wind facilities, and annually we spend about $1.6 million in payroll, and we spend $900,000 in production and capacity taxes, as well as lease payments to landowners for $800,000 a year. We have made significant investments in solar projects across the country. The vast majority of those are in Southern California. We also have a few in Florida and a number of other states. The solar resource is strongest in the Southwest, and that's why you see most of the projects there. And South Dakota also has a strong solar resource, but it's just not as competitive with other fuels. And right now, cost of wind is about 2 to 3 times cheaper than solar. So at this stage where the technology is, solar projects are not directly competitive. House Bill 1177 helps improve that competitiveness a little bit. The bill would change the production tax methodology for projects that are greater than 5 megawatts. It would use the same tax methodology that was put into place last year for wind projects. This would provide a consistent tax rate for all solar projects across the state, and it would help lower overall costs. Just to give you a idea of how much the impact would be, if we built a 30 megawatt utility scale project in the state of South Dakota with a 22% capacity factor, we would estimate that the taxes under this bill would be about $143,000 a year. The same project under the current tax methodology would pay over $700,000 a year. As I mentioned, solar projects are not currently competitive in the markets in the Midwest. The price for solar energy out of a solar project would be somewhere in the neighborhood of $65 to $85 a megawatt hour, and wind projects are now coming in at under $30 a megawatt hour. So there's a gap right now between the energy prices. The production tax methodology would also be very similar to what is being utilized in Minnesota. Minnesota has a production piece does not have a matching capacity piece. We are actually in the process of trying to build a project in Marshall, Minnesota, just on the eastern side of South Dakota. And just for a comparison's sake, the tax there would be about $70,000 a year for a similar size project. So in closing, NextEra supports House Bill 1177. We believe it would improve the competitiveness of solar projects for this area. I don't see that we're going to be building solar projects immediately, but laying the groundwork for future projects as the technology continues to improve. So thank you for being able to speak with you this morning, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Does the committee have any, Jim, Senator Peterson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As long as we have an expert here, forgetting about the time that they operate, just construction cost. How does a 5 megawatt solar field compare for construction cost alone to a wind project of two generators that do 5 megawatts?
Yeah, right now it's about 2 to 3 times as costly on a per megawatt basis, just because the technology is not there. And so a megawatt of wind right now is somewhere in the $1,500 a kilowatt cost, and solar is going to be about three times that. And that number's changing as technology improves, but just to give you a flavor for where we are with that in the industry.
Thank you. Are there any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any other proponents of House Bill 1177? Are there any other proponents of House Bill 1177? Welcome.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, and greetings to the Senate Taxation Committee from the House Taxation Committee. I just wanted to add my me too to this particular bill and just a couple points. Many of you know that a number of years ago, I was the chairman of the Wind Energy Competitive Advisory Task Force, and it was a summer study that was designed to figure out how this, State Representative Roger Solem, District 5, Coddington.
Did there I we go. That? Thank you.
Okay.
I can see your badge.
Yep. And anyway, our committee, our summer study, was searching out how we can make wind energy development in the state of South Dakota competitive with our surrounding states. And so, as was previously mentioned by the Senate Prime, last year we had that bill that we changed kind of the tax structure as to how wind energy was looked at in South Dakota. This is just an add-on to that. Technologies are increasing, or the capacities and the capabilities of solar panels are getting to the point now where we can consider them as a viable power production facility. And just as a side note, even my students, just last Friday in the classroom, we started a solar project, and we'll continue that through the end of the spring semester. And so we're already teaching solar technicians in this particular field. So we're looking out ahead, watching that technology as it further develops. And hopefully we can provide trained technicians for the field once it hits here in South Dakota. So thank you. I would appreciate your support.
Thank you, Representative Solem. Are there any other proponents of House Bill 1177?
Good morning, Chairman Monroe and members of the Senate Taxation Committee. Hunter Roberts with Governor Dugard's office. Rising in support of House Bill 1177, we think it's a common sense change that solar and wind would fit together. I will make one note. We asked the sponsor to tweak their bill a little bit to raise the effective tax rate for solar farms. When you look at capacity factors, solar's about half or maybe a little bit less than half of what wind generation is in South Dakota for capacity factors. So we thought if you double that rate, then the effective tax rate for those per megawatt would be more similar. So we thank the sponsors for making that change. Additionally, as technology improves and solar prices continue to decline, we are hopeful that, we create a good opportunity for more energy projects in South Dakota. And we think this bill helps move that discussion along. So with that, I'll ask for your support. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other proponents for House Bill 1177? Any other proponents? Are there any questions of the committee of the proponents? I have one. So, Julie, come up here again. We got to make your plane flight worth it. Since it probably costs about as much as you'll end up paying into tax anyway. I've been a big solar fan since grade school. So, but I would like you to take and just take like a minute or so for the benefit of the committee and the people that are listening. the three biggest advances in technology you can think of in the last 20 years?
Mr. Chairman and committee and those also listening in, I think the greatest advances have been in the technology of the solar cells themselves. The solar cells are much more efficient, the photovoltaics that are being used, and that's where we've seen the advances in the improvement. So that is the greatest technology advancement for solar is in the actual design of the cells themselves and in the manufacturing process. The manufacturing process is able to reduce costs to make the solar cells more efficient. So solar is very simple technology, actually. One of the benefits of it, it doesn't have moving parts like a lot of other technologies. The sun hits the solar panels and generates electricity, so the maintenance is significantly less. So those advances help reduce the cost of solar energy.
Thank you. And they're using like different materials too, right?
Yes. Yes. The materials in the photovoltaics that are making them more efficient. There's been a lot of research in that area, and that's what is helping reduce the costs.
Thank you. This is all, I could go for hours on this. Senator Frerichs.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, for taking a little bit of chance here to educate all of us. My question, Julie, would be, where do we see things going as far as storage, or at least being able to have as much as possible of this energy available at those peak times, and how that technology may be developing, if you could share. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Sure. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, Senator Frerichs, storage is something that I didn't talk about yet this morning, but is a very growing technology. We actually have a couple demonstration projects at two of our wind facilities. We have battery projects, and we're working with those. Storage can be used in a lot of different ways. It can be used to store energy in the evenings when it's cheaper, use it during the day. It can also be used to smooth out the electric signals, and when there's intermittent diversity in the electric production, storage can be used. And some of the manufacturing processes that are out there now need, I'm going to say, cleaner electricity from the how it's actually manufactured, and the intermittent differences that are out there can be helped by storage. So we're working with batteries. They're not commercially viable on a wide scale basis right now, but the technology is improving there as well. We're using the lithium batteries, and we hope to be able to grow that technology in the future.
Thank you. Now is your plane flight worth it?
Absolutely.
Are there any other Senator Greenfield?
I have a question for Hunter.
Okay. Mr. Roberts.
Morning, Mr. Roberts. I know that the area that I'm going to address is in current law. I'm just trying to understand it better. The very last sentence of the bill says, any remaining revenue in the renewable facility tax fund shall be deposited in the state general fund. However, above, in the language above, in that section, it says that 50% shall be allocated to the schools, I think 35 to the counties, and 15 to the townships. It does say, it talks about townships that are not organized. Would that be the case in which there would be dollars available for the state general fund because the dollars wouldn't be going to the township? And is that the only instance in which there would be dollars flowing into the state general fund?
Senator Monroe? That's a good question, Senator Greenfield. What happens in current law, and which would happen with the solar farm, is if you're in a township, and or what would be an organized township, if it's unorganized, then that remaining, that 15% funding of that fund total would go to the county. So at one point back in history, it was 50% to the county, or to the school, and 50% to the county. Through time, it's fell on this 15% to the township, 35% to the county, and 50% to the school district. Originally when that was done, about 50% goes to school districts on ag property is where that number originally came from. So, I see Dick Howard's here who, definitely helped make that change to that 15%. But my understanding is that it will go to, if that 15% is available because there isn't a township there, it'll go to the county to help with their roads.
Thank you. Senator Greenfield.
Thank you. And I appreciate that. Then the question is, what remaining revenues would be available for to be deposited in the general fund?
Good question, Mr. Chairman. Senator Greenfield, so the way the taxes are broke out now is there's a nameplate capacity charge of $3 per megawatt of nameplate capacity. All that funding goes to the locals. Beyond that, there's a production tax of that funding that is that, you know, for solar would be 0.9 cents per kilowatt hour. For that tax, 20% would go to the local distributed in that percentages, and 80% would go to the general fund.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other questions of any of the proponents? Hearing none, we'll go to opponents of House Bill 1177, opponents. Really? We have no opponents. No need for a rebuttal. Are there any other general questions? If not, we'll close the meeting to committee discussion and or action. Senator Frericks.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move due pass of HB 1177.
It's been moved by Senator Frericks and seconded by Senator Greenfield to move House Bill 1177 to the Senate floor due pass. Is there any discussion on that motion? Senator Frericks.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I want to thank the sponsors and obviously industry partners and the governor's office for working together on this. I think it obviously makes the most sense. And I know as the chairman was mentioning, myself also, I'm very intrigued by what solar can do. I know I was over in Germany and we even got to go out and tour a solar farm. I think they had sheep grazing underneath that just to keep the grass down, but it's really a neat concept. And it does take up a lot of land though, so that's something that has to also be taken into consideration. But I do want to share just kind of for information, and Senator Greenfield was working in that area with his questions, because it is an area that we as a tax committee, we as legislators should keep tabs on in that last section of the bill, Section 6, because certainly we know 133, Senate Bill 133, is affecting that area on those other fund revenues for the school districts. And in working with our staff, I had an amendment prepared, not in any attempt to offer it today or to change anything right now. Obviously, I have huge respect for the sponsors and drivers on this legislation, but this is an area that we need to look at on those percentages, because the way that the governor envisions Senate Bill 133 to work, he wants those wind taxes of other funds to be considered local effort for schools. Well, when that happens, it basically is like the state is taking ownership on those funds, you could say, because they're being counted as local effort, whereas right now they are flowing to the schools outside of the formula, extra money. You know, they're not being counted. And so I would hope that we as a legislature in the future look at adjusting those percentages even more to keep those dollars local, because local support is huge on these projects. And so, you know, as Senator Greenfield is asking, how much does go to the general fund? I mean, that's very relevant. And really, we could look at those school dollars of, in a way, flowing to the general fund because they're being counted that way. And so I would like to see, I mean, just throwing out there what I have for an amendment to change, really, we should just, well, alter that school portion so that more flows to the county and township. So I think we should look to increase the county portion and increase the township area at the expense of the school portion here, because that's just being counted as state dollars for education funding. So again, an issue that is related to the bill we have here today, but it's something that I realize we won't tackle that here this session. Certainly we know 133 is working on the House side right now. So with that, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I encourage support of 1177.
Thank you. I'm a little confused here. Did you have an amendment for this current?
I'll say it on the microphone. I'm not offering an amendment, Mr. Chairman, no.
Okay. Just want to make
thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other discussion on the do pass motion of House Bill 1177? Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I'm glad to see that this is just 5 megawatts and above. It doesn't interfere with the little local projects that are done at all. And just want to tell the two legislators from Watertown, if you want to see a solar roof, go down to my son's business. He put one up 2 years ago, and he can probably tell you what it did for his heating bills there. So it's I think, good all the way around, even small. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Peterson. Is there any other discussion on the do pass motion on 1177? I'm going to make a comment, because I make this comment every time energy comes up in transportation regarding any form of fuel or any form of energy, but energy is going to become so plentiful in the future based on technologies like this. And it's going to become cheaper and cheaper, thank heavens. And so I would like to admonish every member of this committee to pay attention to these technologies and new fields. And that this is a good bill. I think that solar is really headed places. So with that, we're going to we have a do pass motion on House Bill 1177. The secretary will call the roll. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay.
Senators Ewing?
Aye.
Feagin?
Aye.
Frerichs?
Aye.
Hager?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Greenfield?
Aye.
Monroe?
Aye.
Seven yeas. No nays. Sorry.
We have a overwhelming majority on the ayes. So House Bill 1177 will pass to the House Senate floor. Do pass.
I'll move consent.
Second.
It's been moved by Senator Greenfield.
Requires a two-thirds vote, so can't be on the consent calendar.
That's right. You're absolutely right.
Yes.
Once again, we're saved by an LRC staff attorney.
Why does it require two-thirds?
We'll think up questions.
Hang on just a second. Let's keep this committee in order. Senator Greenfield has a question.
The fund is continuously appropriated.
Okay. Thank you.
Fooled me, too. So Senate Bill or House Bill 1177 will go to the Senate floor, do pass. South Dakota Senate Taxation Committee will now take up House Bill 1204 to provide a sales and use tax exemption for certain nonprofit or corporations created for the purpose of fire protection. Do we have proponents? We have one.
Thank
Welcome.
You. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is David Anderson, representative from District 16, which is southeastern corner of the state. House Bill 1204 is something that I guess we in our community realized was necessary just a few weeks ago. A little background first. A number of years ago, for decades, the Canton Rural Fire Association, which provides fire protection outside of the municipality of Canton, operated as an unincorporated association. They have owned vehicles as an unincorporated association and operated, had bank, you know, checking accounts, whatever. I'm not sure how they did all that. But anyway, several years ago, one of the townships elected an attorney to their board. And as time passed, he discovered that this entity was operating as an unincorporated association and advised that that be changed. And so I've been a member of that department all through this time period. I'm not currently, but I was at that time. We started first looking into the possibility of creating a fire district. And I, along with a number of other firemen, opposed that concept on the basis that it creates another layer of government, another layer of taxing authority to the community. We felt that the townships already and have been for decades levying the tax necessary to fund this Rural Fire Association, even though it was unincorporated. So the next step was to look at creating a nonprofit corporation for the purpose of owning the fire trucks. And the only members of the nonprofit corporation are the townships themselves that surround the community of Canton. So that's the avenue we ended up taking. Well, here a short time ago, the Canton Rural Fire Department, now as a nonprofit corporation, is in the process of putting out requests for bids on a new pumper truck. We're talking $300,000-$400,000, a significant amount of money. They wanted to make sure that they are, in fact, tax-exempt, just as the townships are, just as a, quote, legal fire district would be as a taxing entity, or the city of Canton as a municipality. They are all exempt from sales and use tax. Well, in conversations with the Department of Revenue, it was understood that the fire department is in fact exempt from excise tax on the cab and chassis of the truck, but the code did not provide for an unincorporated association providing fire protection to be exempt from the sales and use tax. Therefore, the tank, the pump, all the equipment on the truck itself would be subject to sales and use tax. Really, we did not believe that that is the intent. It's never been the intent for fire departments to pay sales and use tax. Their sole purpose is fire protection for the communities they serve. In any other situation, they would be a branch of government, so to speak, and thereby automatically exempt. And so I asked LRC to draft an amendment. And if you've looked back, you notice the bill, it designates it as being hog-housed or significantly changed. The wording has been significantly changed. The impact has had zero change. The original version that I had drafted by LRC actually changed less than a sentence in Section 104510 of our code. After that version being reviewed by the Department of Revenue, they came back with the version you see before you today, which is considered the hog-housed version. And it still deals with Chapter 1045, but they deal with the sales tax exemption separate from the excise tax exemption. So you see two short paragraphs, still a very short bill. But that's basically all it's doing, is clarifying that a nonprofit corporation owned and controlled by a political subdivision of government for the sole purpose of fire protection is also exempt from the sales and use tax on their purchase of fire equipment, just as they are for the excise tax. I think that's always been the intent across the state. It's kind of a unique situation with the creation of a nonprofit. However, in talking to a number of people, I think this may in time encourage other communities, rural communities, to look at how their fire departments are structured, because I understand there are a number of other unincorporated associations. And again, they go back decades and decades. And my assumption, I don't know this, but my assumption is somehow they are using one of the township's tax ID numbers to gain, because they've always been tax exempt. When they were an unincorporated association, they never paid tax on other trucks that they'd previously purchased. And so I think this just cleans up and clarifies a situation that's going on. And I would ask for your support and be willing to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Anderson. Are there any questions of the committee, from the committee?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Feagin.
When you become a nonprofit corporation, don't you have to fill out is it a 501c? Is that the nonprofit? When somebody has a 501c filled out, do they pay taxes today if they're a nonprofit organization under the 501c? I'm getting a nod over here. Okay. Okay. Sorry, Mr. Chairman.
Would you like to answer that question?
Well, he didn't answer the question, but somebody was nodding
behind
him.
On that.
Another follow up on that?
Of Representative Anderson?
Yes. Yeah, so
go ahead.
Sponsor. So, in this case, did your fire department fill out that 501c? Is that what they are today? And this is just kind of clarifying it at that point.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Yes, they are a 501c nonprofit corporation based on IRS designation. I believe that 501c is an IRS determination, if I'm correct. Not mistaken.
Okay. Thank you.
Are there any other questions? Do we have any other proponents of House Bill 1204? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I'm Dick Howard with the South Dakota Association of Towns and Townships. You usually see me talking about roads and bridges, but townships have the authority for, their main responsibility is roads and bridges, but they have the authority for fire protection and ambulance service. And there are, as Representative Anderson said, there are a number of units, like the nonprofit organizations that are formed, and the townships are provide funding and support those associations. So we support this concept of having them have clearly be able to purchase their equipment as tax-exempt organizations. So we would ask for your support.
Thank you. Are there any questions from the committee? Are there any other proponents of House Bill 1204 or any other proponents? Hearing none, are there any opponents of House Bill 1204? There's nobody in the room. All right. Then there's no need for a rebuttal. If there are no other questions or comments, then we'll close the meeting to committee discussion and or action.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move to pass on House Bill 1204.
Moved by Senator Greenfield, seconded by Senator Frerichs to move House Bill 1204 to the Senate floor do pass. Is there any discussion on that motion?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate Representative Anderson for bringing this forward, and I'll refrain from taking any pot shots at any certain department, but it just seems that this is common sense. It seems that there's been an overreach. I want to state very clearly, we have some very good professionals working over in the Department of Revenue, and some are even my friends. But from time to time, we have to tame the beast, so to speak, and I don't know who made this executive decision in the past, but the fact that we're actually reining it in and putting our legislative thumbprint on this is a good thing. We establish the policy. Sometimes interpretations arise that we disagree with. I think it's good that we have this bill before us, and I would encourage your support. Thanks.
Thank you. Are there any other, is there any other discussion on the motion? Hearing none. The motion on the table is due pass on House Bill 1204. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. The secretary will call the vote.
Senators Ewing?
Aye.
Feagin?
Aye.
Frerichs?
Aye.
Hager?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Greenfield?
Aye.
Monroe?
Aye.
Unanimous.
Again, having an overwhelming majority, House Bill 1204 will move to the Senate floor, do pass.
I'd like to keep it off consent just so that Senator Tiedemann can speak to a tax exemption. Thank you.
Thank you. House Bill 1204 will go to the Senate floor, do pass. Is there anything else to come before the committee? Hearing none, I want to thank you all for your great work today, and the chair will entertain any appropriate motions.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Moved by Senator Greenfield, seconded by Senator Hager to adjourn. Those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Meeting's adjourned.